guys, it's Katie, and just wanted to give you a little update of where I am in my own trying to conceive journey. I actually decided back in June that I thought I was ready to do an embryo transfer or to start kind of back into that trying to conceive. And so I had a couple of appointments in June and was really hopeful that that month I would be able to go ahead and do the transfer. And then it turned out that I had been on birth control for several months and that was supposed to be suppressing my ovulation, but it actually didn't. So I did ovulate. And that meant that where I was in my cycle was really not conducive to doing a transfer. We'd kind of missed the window in June. So I had to then like wait for my period and a whole new cycle. So that was a little bit of a disappointment. And so then at that point, I think I was just a little trigger shy. And so I decided not to share with anybody until I kind of knew what was going to happen. So I didn't tell anybody that I was going to do a transfer in July because honestly, I wasn't even sure if it was going to happen or not. But everything in July worked out and I was able to do my transfer. And so my transfer was on July 23rd and I had a lot of feelings about going into the transfer. I think IUI is one thing where you're sort of going in knowing the odds are a little bit lower. And also there's this sense that your body is either going to create something that didn't already exist or it's not, like that sperm and egg are going to meet or they're not going to meet, it's going to implant, it's not going to implant. Whereas with the embryos, I have kind of a limited number. I mean, I feel like I'm in a great place. I do have plenty of embryos, but there's this one embryo in particular that I really feel attached to, and that is the one that I was transferring. So it just felt so much higher stakes this time. So I really kind of almost chickened out a couple of times. But decided it was time. There was really nothing else holding me back. I'd sort of worked through the dating stuff. And of course, there are concerns with still COVID being, you know, a real concern. But just kind of understanding that I am putting myself in a high risk category, but I'm prepared to distance and stay at home and do all the things to make sure that my pregnancy would be safe. And so I decided to go ahead with the transfer and I chose to do an unmedicated transfer, which means that we were really working with my body's natural cycle and not doing a lot of supplementing with synthetic hormones. So I didn't do any injections at all other than a trigger shot. And then I went in for my transfer, I think about 5 days later after the trigger. I could be wrong on that. I'm already getting hazy on the details. Did lots of acupuncture leading up to the transfer and really just felt like I was calm and I was in a great place. And the morning of the transfer, no one knew that I was doing it other than just a couple of close friends. I didn't tell anybody in my family. I worked that morning from home, but still, you know, my head was in the work game. And then I think it's kind of funny because I didn't plan this ahead of time, but I actually got super nervous. Like I was going on like a really important, like a first date with someone I was really excited about or like a job interview or something. Like I got super shaky and I took a shower and I got really dressed up, which is not something that I had planned to do, but it felt appropriate. So I actually put on like a skirt and heels, which I haven't worn in months because I've been at home with COVID. I put on this shirt that I've worn for a lot of my IUIs, almost all of them. I'll put a picture of it on Instagram. It, when you look at it close, kind of looks like it has teeny little sperm on it. That's not really what they are. It's some sort of little, I don't know, design. But anyway, so I'm sure everyone at the clinic thought I had somewhere important to go after that. But actually, I just felt like it was an important meeting. And I was going to meet my son for the first time. And I had so much confidence that this transfer was going to work. And so I went to the clinic. And while I was there waiting, I was alone in, I guess, a pre-op room wearing the hospital gown and the shower cap thing on my head and all of that, very glamorous, you know, looking very glamorous. And I listened to some guided meditations and really just kind of got into the zone. I did a lot of journaling. I wrote letters to my baby and I was sitting there for, gosh, like 45 minutes. Meanwhile, I was drinking 40 ounces of water because you need to have a full bladder for an embryo transfer. So it's kind of a bummer because at this moment, that is this huge monumental moment in your life where you're, you know, potentially the embryo that will become your child is like rejoining your body. Also, you just really, really, really have to pee. And so it's a bummer that that is a huge distraction during the actual transfer. But the transfer went really smoothly. The doctor said the embryo looked perfect and my lining was great and everything was just pretty optimal. And then as I was leaving, you know, she said, this works about 2 out of 3 times. And if it's going to work, there's really nothing you can do to mess it up. And about a third of the time it doesn't work. And if it doesn't work, there's nothing you've done that's going to mess it up and nothing you could do that would make it work better. Like, it's just kind of out of your hands at this point. And in a way that was helpful. And in a way it was hard because I was feeling so good about it. And so those odds of like 1 in 3 not working didn't feel great to me. So I kind of tried not to hang on to that and tried to really hang on to just the assurance that I felt. And so then I went home and I just can't eat McDonald's. So I know that's a thing. I couldn't do it. I just don't put that junk in my body. But there is this kind of local fast food joint here called P. Terry's that has like really great veggie burgers. And so I did do the salty fries. They didn't come from McDonald's. And it felt kind of fun, even though, I mean, who knows? Like, it's not that I believe that McDonald's fries or pineapple or any of that stuff really makes a difference, but it just felt fun to be part of the community. So I had the pineapple at home and I wore the fuzzy socks and all the things just to kind of have the experience because I really truly hope that this is it. And then I just relaxed for the rest of the day and it was pretty uneventful. So I thought that I knew it was going to be less than 2 weeks because with embryo transfer, the embryo is already at day 5. So that kind of takes 5 days off of your 2 week wait. So I started testing, gosh, so early, maybe like, I think probably 2 or 3 days after the transfer, which I knew was ridiculous. Like I knew it wasn't going to show up that early, but I don't know what I was thinking. I guess just that I was going to test every day and let that line sort of gradually appear if it was going to, rather than waiting and having this big reveal. And so what was fun is that, so the transfer was the 23rd. And so 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, nothing really. But on the 27th, I kind of sort of thought I saw a little glimmer of something. And the 27th was my birthday. So that was kind of a birthday gift that I wanted to be excited about, but gosh, it was so light that I really just couldn't be sure. And then the next 2 days after that, I really kind of saw nothing. Like it, maybe that super faint line was still there, but not enough to like truly claim it. And I did become that crazy person who was like doing the color inversion and all of that different filters, like trying to see it. Couldn't. And then I think it was the 30th of July that I really saw something that I was like, okay, that's a line, but it was still so faint. And so I kept every morning taking those little cheapy test strips and the line would get darker and darker and darker. And so then on day 8 post 5 day transfer, I went in for my beta test and that was a little bit early, but it was a Friday and my doctor's office was gracious and let me do it a little bit early instead of having to wait the whole weekend and doing it actually later, because I think normally they do it around day 9 or day 10, but I went on day 8 and I knew at day 9 or 10, they wanted to see about a 50 HCG. On day 8, mine was 36. So while I felt a tad disappointed because that was just a lower number than I was hoping for, at the doctor's office, they really didn't seem concerned at all. They seemed like that was pretty normal. And I guess if you do the math, if it was 36 and it's supposed to double every 48 hours, then it would have been 72 by day 10 rather than 50. So I guess that was a good number. I still wasn't convinced on day 8. So then 4 days later, I went back in on day 12 post-transfer for another beta test. And that time, I think the number needed to be like 140 something in order to have doubled appropriately. And that time it was 360, which was great. So it actually increased times 10 in 4 days. So that felt fantastic. I was super excited. I wasn't really surprised because I really all along have felt like this first transfer was going to work and this is the right embryo and this is the right time. And just everything felt like it was lining up. And that was nearly 2 weeks ago. So in the last 2 weeks, I've had zero confirmation whatsoever that I am still pregnant. And so that just feels really scary. Like you'd think you see that pink line and yay, I'm pregnant. Or like you have a doctor confirm for you twice through blood tests that you're pregnant and you would just believe it. But there's this part of me that just is really having a hard time believing this is real. I think part of it is that I'm really not having a lot of symptoms. I have a little bit of nausea, my boobs kind of hurt, but all the things that I'm experiencing are pretty mild and also could completely be attributed to the progesterone. So I don't know what it is that of course I don't want to feel sick, but I think somehow that would make me feel better. I stopped testing. I was taking the daily tests up until day 15 post-transfer, and then I ran out of the strips and I was like, okay, Katie, you're not buying more pregnancy tests when you know you're pregnant to keep testing just to make yourself feel better. So yeah, so it's been 12 days since I've had the last beta test. And I am just really looking forward to going in for an ultrasound because I just really want to see a little heartbeat. And if I do see a heartbeat on Tuesday, which is my first scan, that will officially be like a big milestone for me because with my first and only pregnancy last summer, I never got to this point. So the first pregnancy, they did have me come in for an ultrasound, I think about 5.5 weeks, which would have been like mid last week. And they could see the yolk sac, and I don't think they saw the fetal pole. But anyway, it looked like it was on track at 5.5 weeks. And then at the 6.5 week mark, that was when they should have been able to see the heartbeat, and they didn't. And so this time around, I guess we kind of skipped that first ultrasound, and the second one is the one where last time things started to go downhill. So I'm really hopeful and feeling really good about this being the one, the keeper, the pregnancy that lasts and becomes my baby. There's just still always that nervousness, and I don't know if it will go away when I see a heartbeat, but I hope it at least drastically reduces. So anyway, that's where I am, and I will update again after that appointment on Tuesday. Bye. So it's Tuesday night, August 18th, and today was a big day. I had my ultrasound this afternoon and the doctor said that everything looks perfect. So that was really amazing to hear. I had more anxiety than I was anticipating going into that appointment. I think from the date of the transfer until really up until 2 or 3 days ago, I was feeling super positive about it and just so certain that everything was progressing normally and that all was well. And then I just started to kind of freak out a little bit. I think maybe because that was the appointment when I did have a miscarriage, that was the 6.5 week appointment was the one where we should have been able to see a heartbeat and didn't. So, but everything went well. The doctor did see the heartbeat. It was really hard for me to see what she was talking about, but she assured me it looked exactly the way it was supposed to. And I maybe kind of saw a little bit of a flutter. So she told me in 2 weeks when I go back, it'll be much more obvious. So looking forward to seeing the heartbeat in 2 weeks. And otherwise, things are good. I'm definitely starting to feel some symptoms. I don't know if they are true pregnancy or if they are side effects of the progesterone because it's all kind of the same. You know, the pregnancy is the progesterone in your body, or, you know, it could be from the supplements that I'm taking, but just feeling really bloated and really, really, really tired. And then also just having a hard time kind of getting words, maybe it's apparent in this episode, getting words to come out of my mouth appropriately. I just feel like my brain is a little bit foggy, fuzzy, whatever you want to say. So yeah, just generally experiencing some pregnancy brain, I guess is what they call it. I didn't think that was a real thing, and now I know it definitely is. So yeah, everything is going great, and I will update you soon. All right, so I'm going to start by just apologizing if the sound quality is terrible. I am podcasting from my bed. It is not even 8 p.m., but today is Tuesday, August 25th, so it's been a week since my last update, and I still have a week to go before my next ultrasound. And I just wanted to check in because yesterday I shared the news with you guys on Instagram about my pregnancy and was just so overwhelmed with all of your sweet responses. And
I just feel like maybe I don't need to keep doing these updates because I can just kind of tell you in real time. So I wanted to do one final one and just kind of let you know where I am emotionally and physically. Physically, I'm still feeling pretty good. I don't have any major side effects other than just feeling very tired and a little bit of heartburn and nausea, but nothing too bad. So it's not really interrupting my ability to work or anything like that. So that feels really lucky. Emotionally, I'm still struggling to feel like this is real. So that's been interesting. I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe having an ultrasound where whatever is going on in there actually looks a little bit like a human. Maybe that will help. I don't know. I'm really looking forward to the 8-week ultrasound and just feeling a little bit more connected to what is happening in my body. Right now, it just feels like I'm on this regimen of remembering to take the progesterone twice a day, and I don't know. I just feel weird and kind of off. And then occasionally friends will be super excited with me. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. The reason why I feel terrible is because I'm actually pregnant. That's fun. But it just doesn't have this lasting sort of reality to it. So I'm really looking forward to that stage. And I know eventually I will be able to feel and see the baby kicking and all of that. And, you know, I don't want to rush the experience, but it is weird because I just still have this feeling that at any point, this could all fall apart. But one more week and I get to see an ultrasound again, and hopefully that will bring me a little bit more peace of mind. One last thing I wanted to share with you before I go, and it's something that I've been thinking about ever since I started the podcast, and I'm not sure why I've never executed on it before this, but now it's just feeling more and more like something I really would like to do. And it's funny because a couple of people have actually brought this idea up to me and said, why don't you do this, after I was already thinking about doing it. So it's great confirmation. So what I want to tell you about is that there is now a group for the podcast on Facebook. And to find the group, it's just facebook.com/groups/singlegreatestchoice. And the purpose behind the group is just to have a smaller, kind of more intimate place to gather and have conversations. I do hope that over time we'll have some different forums and guest speakers and events and things that happen through that group. But for the beginning, I'm hoping to get lots of our former podcast guests as well as podcast listeners, just to have a place to come together and be able to share some of our stories and our experiences. My experience has been that I turn to Facebook and to the large Single Mother by Choice groups for information, and it's great for posting a question and getting lots of varied responses and feedback. But I find that those groups are so large that oftentimes you kind of have a brief conversation and then you keep scrolling and you don't necessarily ever interact with those individuals again, unless they're just really frequent posters or unless you're someone who's in the groups all the time. But I haven't found that a great place to develop relationships, though it is a great place to get information. And then I felt kind of the opposite on Instagram, where many of you I've connected with deeply one-on-one because we have sent DMs back and forth, or we've really gotten to know each other. Most of the podcast guests, if not all of the podcast guests, are people that I connected with on Instagram first. And so that's been really rich for relationships. But what happens there is I feel like I have a relationship with one person, and then I develop a relationship with another person. And then in my mind, I'm thinking these two ladies should really meet, but there's not necessarily that forum for me to introduce, you know, A to B and create that connection. So my goal is to have just a smaller group where everybody kind of knows each other's names and knows each other's stories. And maybe we kind of take turns sharing our stories and our background and supporting each other. So I don't know exactly the way it's going to be structured quite yet. I'm kind of putting it out there and just going to see what develops, because y'all, I am tired. I'm tired. This is not the time for me to be starting anything new, but I'm going to start it anyway, and we're just going to see what happens. So please go to facebook.com/groups/singlegreatestchoice, and I will see you there. Can't wait to see you. Bye. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Single Greatest Choice podcast. I'm your host, Katie B. You can learn about me and this project on my website, singlegreatestchoice.com. That's also the place to go if you're interested in being a future podcast guest. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a minute to rate and review in iTunes. That helps more women to find our show.
Until next time, I'm sending you all my love and support as you go about making the choices that will create a life you love.